You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time.
Really? I thought that's the whole idea. They were coming to America. They're just coming for a vacation. This is September 21, 2021. And that was Jen Psaki doing her roundabout answer to a question from Peter Ducey of Fox News, asking simply, when illegals come across our border, if they walk across the border, like we've got now 15,000 or more Haitians under a bridge, Del Rio, Texas area, when they come across the border to enter our country, do they have to show any kind of documentation, vaccination, so forth, that they, you know, anything? Well, let me explain my policy, our policy, Peter, as Jen likes to lecture. Our policy is they're not coming here to stay anyway. What the hell? Now they want us to believe that all of these folks coming to the border, wanting to come across the border into the U.S., are not coming here to stay? That's going to be news to them. And yes, we do have the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, fresh off of his trip to Del Rio yesterday to go down and see it directly. You know, that makes him the highest ranking member of the White House to go down and look at that situation in Del Rio. And you know what all the state-controlled media is all excited about today? There are pictures of some of the marshals on horseback using their horses and the reins attached to the horse. If you've ridden a horse, you know you have long reins, kind of pushing people back and slapping the rein at them, keep moving, and the horses pushing into them. And you've got so many suddenly crying, oh, my God, they're hurting them like cattle. Well, in a way, that's true, because they're trying to get crowd control and get them back across the border, not let them come in. They could sick dogs on them. We don't want that to happen either. It's meant to be a nonviolent event. That's why the officers are up on horses, protecting them and avoiding direct contact with the people and just let the horse kind of move forward. That's always been a way to control a crowd with horses. But Mayorkas said it was horrible. We will investigate. Why don't you investigate all the assaults on Americans from illegals coming across? Oh, but they weren't coming to stay. And they still want us to believe all this. And then again, I think Mayorkas has decided to admit, when it comes to giving numbers of how many illegals we have allowed into the country, who they are, were they given vaccine passports of any type or just vaccine, or were they checked for any COVID before being released across the country, and where did they go? He got asked that repeatedly today in front of Congress. I'll get back to you with those numbers. And the representatives and Republicans were saying, no, we're not going to do this. Play, wait again. We'll get back to you. I want the numbers now. You must have them. Well, I guess the dog ate them. He might as well have said that because he didn't give any numbers. Speaking of numbers, we still don't have any precise numbers or even a good estimate from our government as to how many Americans we left stranded. But one of those working to get Americans out of Afghanistan says by her count, she's a former vet working with some of these other groups that are embedded in Afghanistan. She said by the count of the people we've been in contact with, there had to be at least 1,000 Americans still left behind. And, of course, who knows how many Afghans that we promised, you help us, we will help you. We will not abandon you. We will not turn our back on you. But we did. Oh, and then, of course, we got the San Fran mayor saying, I'm better than you. I don't have to follow the rules. Oh, we got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the clear and urgent choice that we face here at the dawning of what must be a decisive decade for our world. A decade that will quite literally determine our futures. As a global community, we're challenged by urgent and looming crises wherein lie enormous opportunities if we can summon the will and resolve to seize these opportunities. Will we work together to save lives, defeat COVID-19 everywhere, and take the necessary steps to prepare ourselves for the next pandemic, for there will be another one? Or will we fail to harness the tools at our disposal as the more virulent and dangerous variants take hold? Will we meet the threat of the challenging climate we're all feeling, already ravaging every part of our world?
There he did it. It didn't take 2 minutes into his speech in front of the UN before President Joe Biden said, climate change, big, big concern for the whole world. We need to act on it together. Going back to the Paris Accord, sign up everything, get everybody on board. Of course, Trump took us out of the climate change, NATO, I should say, the Paris Accord, because it's a waste of money. Other countries aren't really following it anyway. But I shouldn't be surprised. I should have made some bets, as a matter of fact. I should have been kind of like doing a sports game, over-under. How many minutes will it take before Biden mentions climate change in his address to the UN? I probably would have lost, because I'd say I think he'll do it in the first 1 minute. Well, he got to about a minute 30 before he started talking about it. So I would have lost that. And then he goes on to talk about other things. Jen Psaki had already said that Biden was going to, quote, make it absolutely clear in his speech Tuesday he was not looking for a new Cold War with China or any other country in the world. He believes in vigorous, intensive, principled competition that does not tip over into conflict. That word, principled competition, that does not tip over into conflict. Every time I read principled competition, I'm thinking of Hunter Biden and his connections with China when Daddy was VP. There's some of your principled competition. And, of course, they were already going after what Biden was going to do, that he was going to make better. That, of course, you know that other guy. What was the other guy's name that was there for him? Let me see. Start with a T. Trouble. No, it wasn't Trouble. It was Trump. How quickly we forget. Of course not. And I want to show you in a moment and let you hear how some of these liberal analysts so quickly look for a comparison to the man before the UN today, solid, apparently competent for this period of time, and speaking in tones and so forth that were inviting and encouraging and not nationalistic like that Trump guy did. But before I do that, I want to share something that Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation wrote, a Fox piece that he did as a commentary for them, he wrote. And it's worth sharing this opinion piece by James, always a sharp guy. And he said, President, I should have booked Jim and said, did you write this right after he finished the speech, or did you really have it already done and just waiting to finish it for him to finish so he could spin it out, because we already kind of knew how he was going to play the game. But I look at some of the quotes in here, and I think, yeah, Carafano had to at least have maybe the template laid out and most of the details, and then just kind of plug in a few comments. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying we all could have guessed what he was going to say. So here's what Carafano says in the beginning. President Biden gave a speech to the UN General Assembly that was delighted, or rather guaranteed to delight any globalist, suffused with promises of multinational cooperation. It addressed all the standard progressive pet projects from climate change to global equity, universal labor and environmental standards. He even promised to, quote, build back the world better, as he's been doing with his U.S. slogan, build the USA better. Then Carafano says what Biden's speech lacked was context on how America is actually leading. He said among the more shocking statements in the wake of the catastrophe in Afghanistan was that his declaration that America, and I agree with Jim on this one, he said America stands up for allies and friends. He dares stand there in front of this UN body and make that remark. I'm surprised there weren't some smiles and giggles and laughter or some hell no you don't in various languages around the UN. This coming right after we left 38 million Afghans to the mercies of the Taliban, who already started beheading children and torturing journalists. Carafano says that one line, that phrase, we stand up for our allies and friends, he says that was borderline laughable. And then he also said Biden actually bragged that the U.S. is better equipped to detect and take out terrorists today. And again, he's doing that right after this drone strike in Afghanistan killed 10 civilians. Well, the military at first claiming it was an ISIS target and later had to admit, an Al-Qaeda target and later had to admit it wasn't. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe they were thinking it's ISIS or Al-Qaeda. It didn't make a difference. It was one man and his family. And here's the other thing that Biden did that Carafano points out. He reaffirmed America's commitment to the rights of women and girls around the world. But you know what's happening right now in Afghanistan? For 20 years, girls could go to college, to school of any level. They could serve as city councils or even mayors. They could work in television, radio. They could do all the stuff that men do. Not anymore. The women showing up at their TV stations are told, go home. There's no job for you here anymore. Well, they should absolutely demand that they be kept on. I mean, you know, they should get a union, don't you think? And when they do, everybody in the union will lose their head. And yes, they have opened the schools again in Afghanistan, boys only, because women don't need to have any knowledge in the way the Taliban looks at it. And Biden didn't mention LGBTQ rights because that's also something that's does not play well in Afghanistan with the Taliban. All right, that's kind of Jim Carafano's take on a lot of it, mixed with some of my remarks. And then, oh my God, finally, because it was overall, there was no energy in the speech. It was just kind of this phrase and that phrase and trying to punch it a little bit, but it really failed miserably as far as rhetoric, as far as I'm concerned. And we finally reached, hurrah, the closing.
We will choose to build a better future. We, you and I, we have the will and capacity to make it better. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford to waste any more time. Let's get to work. Let's make our better future now. We can do this. It's within our power and capacity. Thank you. God bless you all.
Yeah, I got some applause. Not overwhelming, but anyway, it was still applause, so be it. Should I point out now that while he was getting that applause, a new rating came out, a new state poll showing how Biden's ratings are in an important heartland battleground. He can say all he wants to up there in front of the UN. They do not vote for president. Well, let me correct that. They're not supposed to be voting for president. But, of course, I think a lot of people voted last time. They weren't supposed to be voting anyway. But the Des Moines Register came out with a poll just released, said that Biden's approval ratings in Iowa are taking a hit. Less than a third of the residents in that traditional heartland swing state like what he's doing in the White House. That is a significant drop from June when they last asked the same question. And then 43% approved of him. 52% disapproved. And now, only 31% approved, 62% disapproved. So he stands up there as the leader of this nation. And these guys in the audience, they represent their countries. They're thinking, is this guy going to be here for us to even deal with in the future after the next election? Or will we have that Kamala woman here next time? Then, of course, as you know, so many times, every time there's some kind of political show or speech of some type, the analysts come on. And that's where a lot of folks just turn off. Because here's the thing. Originally, when an analyst came on, when they brought analysts on after a major presidential speech or something of that nature, they were actually unbiased, analytical evaluation of what was said and how it might play and what was important and what wasn't. But now it's never that way. It starts off praising, and this one started off as Lester Holt began to bring in some of the analysts, begins very quickly by comparing Biden to Trump with the main intent of demeaning, demonizing Donald Trump.
We made the commitment the U.S. would lead the world for all people. Joining me now is NBC's Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell and NBC Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel. And Andrea, I'll start with you. One of his last words, we will not go it alone. What a contrast from the last administration and its message to this body.
Well, his message has been America is back. That's what he first said at the NATO meeting. That's what he's saying today. This, of course, is undermined to a certain extent by the flap with the French over the submarine deal with Australia, that he is now in a tense situation with America's oldest ally, the French, withdrawing the ambassador. So that does color this, that casts a shadow over this. But this speech was all about alliances. He said specifically, as we turn to the Indo-Pacific, meaning to China, he tried to assuage European fears that he's turning away from Europe. He said, we will do it with our allies and partners. That was as close as he came to trying to reassure the French and others in Europe that he's not ignoring them because of what they see as an increasing military threat from China.
And it is an increasing threat from China. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. And China could be facing some major economic hard times because of some defaults on some major banking institutions. We'll get into that in the second hour. But also, when we come back, I want to continue a few more remarks about the Biden speech in front of the UN. You could yawn and say, oh, who cares, walk away. But I think it's important that you make sure you understand the value of what he said and what he did not say. I'll have that part of the story when we continue. I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick-and-mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's what I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So in advance of Biden's speech before the UN, Jen Psaki already ginning up the publicity yesterday, saying that Biden would reverse President Donald Trump's America First approach to the UN and the rest of the world, showing we're going to rebuild all partnerships and alliances that have been frayed during the Trump administration. And Trump just made very clear to them that I'm president of the United States. My country is more important to me, but I will work with you if you will work with us, and you bear the cost of the UN and NATO and other activities. And, of course, they didn't want to be held down like that. So here comes Biden, and Jen Psaki said he will also make it sure that he will talk about areas where we can work with China and should work with China and so forth, blah, 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 blah. Well, what Biden did do is he said, we're not seeking the new Cold War. He said the U.S. is ready to work with any nation that steps up, that pursues peaceful resolution to shared challenges. Even if we have intense disagreement to shared challenges, because we all suffer consequences of our failures if we don't come together to tackle COVID-19, climate change, or threats like nuclear proliferation. Now, when he mentions COVID, is that not a perfect example to call out China for releasing this COVID-19 on the world and all these nations that are sitting out there? He didn't do it. I would imagine Trump would have. And to that extent, Nikki Haley, a former U.N. ambassador to the U.N., criticized Biden on that very point. She said the speech ignored, and I'm quoting, the reality and seriousness of America's threats and enemies. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Afghanistan, terrorism, to name a few. In other words, he was just coming out to do, what, serve pie? Big high moraine on top? That looks good. Let's just talk with sweet things here. Haley said, and I'm quoting her again, under the Trump administration, the world knew where we stood. At the UN, we took the names of our enemies and we had the backs of our allies. With Joe Biden asleep at the switch, our friends don't trust us. Our enemies are rejoicing. Nailed it. She absolutely nailed it. Again, that's Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the UN. Now, I want to share, I gave you some remarks from James Carafano earlier. I want to share a couple more remarks, this time coming from John Nolte with Breitbart, obviously a conservative publication. And he began with his fraudulency, Joe Biden will stand before the UN today and lie to them about after how 4 years of Orange Man bad, America is back. Then he adds, no one at the UN will believe it. No one in America believes it. Joe might believe it. He pointed out the China flu. Bolton did. I mean, yeah, John Bolton did in his article. And the border disaster. And now everyone has to be vaccinated except illegals. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. And that's worth making some real noise over, because you, of course, have to be under certain restrictions and mandates. John Nolte also said Biden's Afghan fiasco is one of the greatest unforced errors in all of American and world history. And that is true. Plus, Joe gave the Taliban tens of billions of dollars in operational U.S. war equipment. And every time I see the Taliban riding on our U.S. equipment, I absolutely go berserk. And we still have Americans stranded there. What's going on to get them out? Or are we going to just simply forget them? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Definitely there are more than 100 that is being stated. We have multiple groups working together with teams of rosters of people, and we continue to scrub those rosters to make sure that we know where these people are at. I do want to say as a veteran quickly that I'm appalled at our administration and how they have disrespected Americans and our allies, as well as put our soldiers' future operations globally in jeopardy.
Those are the words of Jean Marie Thrower, a former U.S. military officer on Fox. And she said, definitely there are more than 100 Americans still stranded. In fact, by their numbers, the count they have, from the sources they can contact, there are got to be at least 1,000 Americans still stranded or trapped in Afghanistan. Now, if you buy the Biden White House storyline is, we got everybody out that wanted to go out. There were some that wanted to stay behind. Some Americans didn't want to leave. Can you think of a reason why an American would not want to leave Afghanistan knowing the Taliban was taking over? There is one that comes to mind, and this probably would involve you as well. If you had family members, let's say you had a dual citizenship, you're an American citizen, or you married someone in Afghanistan and you cannot get your family, you're there living with them, and they'll let you go, but they won't let your family go. Yeah, there are cases like that where you'd say, no, I'm not going to abandon my family. I'm not like the U.S. government. I can imagine that. And, of course, we also heard stories. Oh, well, some of them said, oh, go ahead, take a flight without me. I'm too sick to go on that plane. I do want to see who said they were just too sick to get on the plane and get the hell out of Afghanistan. I want to see that one. But while they say, they've been saying, oh, maybe 100 left. Well, then, based on what the U.S. State Department reported, now there has to be only 80 or fewer. That's because the State Department has confirmed that more than 20 Americans were on board a Qatar Airways flight from Afghanistan to Doha on September 19. They're just now releasing it and say they safely have evacuated the Taliban-controlled country. 21 U.S. citizens and 48 lawful permanent residents on board. And they wanted to thank the Qatar, that's the old pronunciation, Qatar, Qatar, they're different ones, Qatar authorities who continue to coordinate the flights with the Taliban. This is the fourth such chartered flight carrying civilians, I should say, from Afghanistan to Qatar since our forces withdrew. Among them also are citizens from Germany, Belgium, Ireland, Canada, France, Italy, Britain, Finland, the Netherlands, all part of the evacuation. So if the statement from the White House has been a standing, oh, about 100, and we now have 21 on this latest flight, let me do some ciphering here. 100 minus 21, you pull one, you got to move a 9, break it over, carry over. I think it, let me see, 20. Yeah. I'll still say around 80. It's too hard for my head. Oh, on September 18th, they confirmed 28 Americans were flown out in another flight. Well, now we got 28 and 21. You going to do that ciphering? So we should have, what, less than 50 in there now? No, they're still saying about 100. They just seem to like to throw that 100 name around like that's the winning lottery number. While Americans that are stranded, and yes, they're stranded in Afghanistan and are, in effect, hostages of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS, even if they're not directly in their hands. Same thing with some of those special visa permits that we were going to give to Afghan interpreters and others who helped our military during the last 20 years to help them and their families get out in case things went upside down. That was our promise to them. We'll get you out and we will maybe get you to America, but we'll certainly get you out of Taliban territory, out of Afghanistan. Those folks, along with the Americans, that former U.S. military officer you were hearing from a moment ago, Jean Marie Thrower, she says they are in hiding because the Taliban is actively hunting for each and every one of them.
People don't have time for that. They are being executed, killed, hunted, as well as we have Americans that are also being in safe houses that are scared that they might be made an example of. So it's very dangerous for everybody there. And we do not have a lot of time.
You talk about the Taliban trying to trap people, to trick people. Can you explain that for us?
They have some different techniques that they use to send out emails, to send out notices saying, come here, we're going to work on getting you cleared for a visa, or they'll send an email saying that they've been requested to come somewhere to be evacuated, things like that, as well as they're blocking communications. They're tracking communications so that they are able to find out, you know, kind of what we're doing and what our movements are. So we've had to really come up with some different ways to strategically help to protect people. We have the evidence out there, and we're talking to these people. We have American children.
Right.
We have children being born that are really under American citizenship, technically. So there's a lot of different things. We have Americans being shot at.
Oh, but the government said, Biden said, we left no American behind. Obviously, we did. I want to share some remarks from Max Morton. He's a retired U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel, Semper Fi, and a former CIA paramilitary operations officer. He's a vet of multiple armed conflicts, revolutions, contingency operations in those positions with the CIA and the Marines. He wrote a piece in The Federalist titled, How Did We Lose Afghanistan? Answer, our leaders were never willing to win. Now that sounds just like Vietnam in many ways. He goes on to say, we failed to take several steps required to win an armed conflict, identifying an achievable end state, defining the resources we're willing to expend, considering the lengths we're willing to go to. And that is true. That's what happened in Vietnam. That happened here. You get into it, it turns out it's not just desert sand, it's quicksand. And the more boots you put on the ground, the more deadly it becomes, the more dangerous. Although, in the last 18 months of the Trump presidency, once he got the Taliban to sit down and let's talk, we will work on moving our troops out by May 1 if you adhere to these conditions. We lost no American troop in combat. Not one. The first thing Biden does is get a dozen Marines and a Navy corpsman killed. Yes, the blood is on his hands. Oh, but there have been other presidents involved, including Trump. He didn't get everybody out when he could. Well, yeah, you can make that argument all day. He had said, we will do it if you follow these directions. But again, back to Max Morton, U.S. Marines, Lieutenant Colonel, CIA. He said, America appears to be waking up to the notion that our foreign policy is disconnected from reality. And he's absolutely right. He said, those of us who served in America's continuous stream of counterterrorism adventures, nation-building interventions, have long been suspect of U.S. foreign policy. He says, like two worlds. Ours was noisy, bloody, chaotic. Theirs was diverse, inclusive, superficially rational, composed almost entirely of PowerPoint fantasies, reinforced by government stenographers posing as journalists. He said, we did not defend an end state, and resources we're willing to expend to get to that point. He said, first, before you commit to an armed conflict, a nation must identify an achievable and specific end state. And then, what are we willing to do to win? He said, you look at World War II. We decided we were willing to do things like drop nuclear weapons on a Japanese civilian population, if necessary, to bring it all to an end. All right, we'll take a moment when we come back. Jen Psaki, I tell you, this woman, it's a regular Comedy Central for her. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I mentioned earlier that there's already been concerns and complaint about some Border Patrol agents on horses using whips to attack the Haitians coming across the border or anyone else. And even Alejandro Mayorkas was asked about it. Oh, it's horrifying. It's horrifying. We're going to investigate. See, if he knew anything at all about border security and had been there really looking to see what's going on, he would realize those are just officers on horses using horses to help with crowd control. It happens in the U.S. on a regular basis when you have some crowds. If they've got horses, they bring them in because you can move people a lot easier with in place of officers with shields in front of them pushing and shoving against another person. A horse just doesn't budge that easily, believe me. And they weren't whipping. They have long reins. For those of you who don't understand horses, you have a rein that goes to a bit, a harness on the horse's head and then a bit in the mouth where you can control the horse. And sometimes it's pretty long. You can slap your, you know, slap it and make it pop and make noises and frighten cattle and sometimes people. They were using them as they technically should. Now, there are always going to be those, well, there was one, he was just chasing down a Haitian. He's riding down behind him and hitting at him with that. He was trying to get him to get back on your side of the border. Go back over there. Didn't hurt him. The picture might be horrific to people who don't understand crowd control, but let them try to do it, see what they come up with. But in the meantime, the National Border Patrol Council Vice President is pushing back against all the state-controlled media claims that agents are whipping migrants. He said they aren't even given whips. They're not whipping anyone. They don't carry whips. They don't get assigned whips. It's a training technique. It's been shown to them to make sure that no one takes over their horse. And that's another key point. They don't want someone to grab the harness on the horse's head, hold it down, and control it. It's to protect the horse, the rider, and actually protect the individual. Nobody getting whipped. But, you know, here's what's really at stake. Those making that claim and keep bringing it up, they just want to distract you from the mass confusion and chaos at the border because of this administration. All right, Jen Psaki, I said, she's kind of a one-person comedy show on a regular basis. And even members of the media. Yes, and I'm telling you, when the state-controlled media turns and bites on you, you better realize maybe I went too far. She started talking about, she was asked a question about that botched drone strike in Afghanistan, where the strike supposedly was going to kill some ISIS terrorists. This was after the terrorist attack that killed our 13 service members. But the drone targeted a vehicle that had 7 children, their father, and other innocent victims. And then she was asked about President Biden's thoughts. And the first thing she did is fall back onto his personal tragedies. As a human being, as a president, someone who's overseen loss in a variety of scenarios, as a leader, and personally, his reaction is, it's a tragedy. Every loss is a tragedy. He supports the effort to move this forward quickly. She made the same remark, similar anyway, when pressed about criticism by family members of the service members killed in Kabul when their bodies arrived in their coffins and Biden was busy checking his watch after every coffin came off. National Review hit the White House, quote, for veering into self-parody territory. And the Washington Free Beacon wrote, the Biden has personally experienced loss defense mechanism. Come on. Oh, and here's this story from MSNBC, Joy Reid, playing the race card again. Why not? That's what she's very good about. She's talking about this coverage of this missing 22-year-old Gabby Petito. Now, I've kind of watched the story. I haven't bothered any time on it. I have prayed for their family because to be the parents and not know where your daughter is. And now a body has been found in the Utah area where she went camping with her boyfriend. Maybe her, maybe not. But Joy Reid just has to make it into a race. She said, why is this getting so much attention? Why is it captivated? When people of color go missing, they don't get that coverage? You know, Joy, I can't answer that. I don't know why so much coverage on it, period, regards to race. But I would make it about race. I'm just looking at it overall. And she says, well, the answer has a name, missing white woman syndrome. So then she went into that. But her own network extensively covered the case on the same missing woman. Funny, some. Next hour, do not miss it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.